Hi, welcome to the Youth Work Plus podcast. This is where we chat all things youth and kids work. I'm Ollie Shaw.
And I'm Becky Lawrence.
We've been involved in youth and kids work at churches and charities for over 15 years. So we've got a little bit of experience about the highs and lows of youth ministry, the amazing moments and the tricky parts. It can be tough and demanding and thankless and isolating. And at the same time, youth work and children's work can be really rewarding and joy-filled and fun and fulfilling. And yeah, we kind of live in that in between space. And we're kind of, yeah, we've lived that, experienced that, and we're just sharing our thoughts and experience.
Indeed. So we hope that this podcast is for anyone who does youth or kids ministry, whether you're a worker or a volunteer or just interested in it. So we'd love you to keep joining us as we share our kids and youth work experiences, our challenges, things we've learned along the way, the things that we've failed at, and the things that we've kind of learned and wish we did differently maybe. As well as maybe coming up some interviews as well with some other guests and youth work and kids workers. We hope that this podcast will equip and support you in your ministry, or at least you'll be entertained with stories of some of our experiences. Yeah. Today, we are talking about how to do youth or kids ministry on a bit of a shoestring. Obviously, budgets perhaps have been cut, or maybe you're a volunteer with no budget and you've got less of your own money that you would normally spend on kids or youth ministry. I think it's safe to say most of us are probably feeling the pinch with the cost of living crisis. So we wanted to do something that perhaps tied into perhaps everybody's ministry at this time. And we wanted to say that, you don't need a big budget or a lot of money to do youth or kids ministry effectively. And there are ways that you can save money and still put on something decent. So we wanted to share kind of some of our ideas today, some of the things we've done, some of the things we feel have worked, and hopefully some of it will be useful for you.
So what ideas have you had, Becky, of things that have been like, that's come off really well, or that's been a really good way to do something good, but not spend tons of money?
One thing that we've done is like a bake-off type thing. So getting youth or kids to bring cakes or biscuits in, sometimes with a theme, sometimes not with one. So we've kind of asked for two or three volunteers, or kind of picked two or three people to go away and make homemade something that fits the theme, whether that's cakes that fit the coronation or something multicoloured or something flavoured with lemon, like the world's your oyster. And then you can, instead of, having a budget that you then have to buy cakes with, you're getting people to cover some of that cost. So they're still being provided, but also there's a bit of a competition element because you can vote for the winner each week. And it's something fun for people to get involved in as well. So perhaps also as a bonus, those two or three people who have been tasked to bring something are more likely to come because they've been given a specific job that they're going to do that week of bringing the food and drink. So there's a little bonus there as well.
So our area, and I guess it's similar for lots of areas, you kind of have a mix of families involved in the youth ministry. So you'd have people maybe with a bit more money, people with a bit less, and so you kind of trying to strike that balance of doing something that's not going to seem really, really lame. So say if you're doing a computer games night, if at home you got one family who's, just got normal stuff, and then you've got like a pretty well-off family, big TV, really like nice modern, like top-end games console. And I think, oh, do I? But you can actually lean into some of that retro feel. So we would do like games nights with like my old N64 or like GameCube and stuff, and loads. No, doesn't cost much money. It's just stuff that I had kicking around. But I'm obviously old, so my stuff's retro now. And so you can kind of lean into, rather than trying to compete on things that are expensive, we would always try and do stuff that you couldn't do at home, which is like another appeal. And that's assuming that you're trying to appeal and make something appealing, and that's where you're spending the money. There's other stuff that means you have to spend money. But we would do, if you do a big group game, and you put a lot of imagination and creativity into it, that's adding value on its own. You can't do it at home. You can't build a cardboard fortress out of, in a in a big old space. You can't build a cardboard fortress and have like a paper ball fight or something at home. That's the sort of thing that it's fun to do when you're in a youth group. And we also, which I suppose is a bit like, maybe not the best, but where at the moment with the financial situation, but often we'd have like, so our cakes were given to us by a local cafe because mm-hmm. they would make too many and then they'd be binning them at the end mm-hmm. of the day. And so we just in conversation with them, you know, it was nice for yeah. them. They could give their cakes away rather than throw them away. We got a table tennis table from a business that was closing down and it was in their staff room. So there's lots of opportunities like that, but those sorts of things do require time. You know, it's effort to go pick up a table tennis table from, you know, a trading estate half an hour away. But we got 20 years worth of use almost out of that table tennis table and it was totally free. It's trying to make those personal connections.
Yeah,
it might be that someone's got something kicking around they never use that would be a real asset. So that was what was helpful for us.
And perhaps there's less wastage because, yeah, there are some savvy ways you can save money on food and stuff by using apps like Too Good To Go, where, like, you get a little pop-up. I guess it's easier and better if you're in a city or a high-populated place with lots of food and eateries, because lots of them, like Pret and Starbucks and Costa, at the end of the day, basically, any cakes or food and stuff that's left, they give away. So sometimes, like, that's the end of the working day, which is like 5-6 o'clock. Sometimes it's like the end of the evening if it's a restaurant, so it's like 10-11 o'clock. But there might be a time that you can pick stuff up that works for your group, and then you can just have like a lucky dip of whatever you've got, which might be a cool thing to do. And then you are doing that thing where you're using stuff that otherwise would have gone in the bin, which is, you know, something that young people often believe in anyway, and perhaps there's less wastage because trying to do good for the planet and all those kind of things. I guess the other thing, food and drink related, is, you know, sometimes we feel like we have to provide free food and drink at events and things. We could instead operate like a cheap tuck shop where young people buy the snacks they want rather than get them for free, and then we have to cover the cost somehow. You know, that teaches where they have to learn to like budget the whatever pocket money they've been given to spend on that tuck shop. They can't just have everything, one of everything. They've got to choose what they're going to have. You know, they've got to learn money management and stuff, which is probably a good thing to learn anyway. But also, like, you are making a bit of money back on the stuff that you've bought.
I like that tuck shop idea where like, rather than you spending 50 quid on a load of tuck, essentially it's like young people spending £1 50 times. So, which doesn't seem as much all in one hit. Or often, I know I do, and other people, I think we prefer to give something rather than, oh, I'll give £40 a month to the youth work, or I'll give £40 a month to the church. It feels like you're giving into a bit of a black hole. Often people are quite responsive to, oh, we'd love to start offering this with our youth work. You know, and some people are like, oh great, yeah, I'll get those. So I've had people, like, our hosts used to buy food, not all of our hosts, it wasn't an expectation, but our hosts would buy food for the young people. So that had advantages. Firstly, they provided the food, so it's less cost, and also they got it already and it was their imagination that made, like, these nice refreshments, which made it really cool. I think, and not being afraid to ask lots of people for a little bit of money. My best ever fundraising thing at church, we decided we wanted to give Bibles to our young people, which is, you know, it's a pretty cool thing to do. We decided as they enter the youth work, we give them a Bible, like a particularly nice Bible, and say, you know, this is your Bible. We want you to bring it to your groups and da, da, da. For the churchy kids, this was like our in-house church stuff. I just went up the front of church and kind of sold the vision and said, we'd really love to give Bibles to young people. And it was a bit cheeky, but then I said, can I have a show of hands who thinks this is a good idea? And a load of people put their hand up and I was like, great, because we haven't actually got any money for it. So there'll be a plate at the back. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, I do think this is a good idea. And each person maybe gave like a tenner, which isn't loads and loads, or it wasn't then. We got like 200 quid. for buying Bibles for young people, which lasted us a couple of years, which was really cool. And it meant we didn't have to like put strain on other areas of the budget. Give young people a Bible, or, you know, it, or this person needs, you know, money to do this residential or do a gap year or something. It's easier to get money for those things from people because it's a more exciting thing to give to. So I think that helps, like targeting what you ask for.
So sometimes we have this mindset that, you know, we want to provide youth or kids ministry for free, like we don't want cost to be a barrier for anybody. But then in so doing, you know, there are always some people within the group who do have money and are happy and able to contribute. But we kind of rule that out because we don't want to stigmatize or rule out the people who can't give anything and make them feel they can't come. But I think there are ways of asking for parents to contribute to the costs without doing it in a way that puts people off. I think you can, like, if you're going to put something on that costs money, instead of provide it for free, you could ask parents to chip into that cost or cover some of the running costs, but make it a voluntary contribution so that those who can pay do pay something, and those who can't pay know that they're going to be able to come and have it covered anyway. We found that really works. And I think there are ways to make it easier as well for people to be able to do that. So like we've set up, like, within our church donation system, like specific pages where they can go through that isn't like accessible to the public, but has a URL where they can go through and give to that specific thing. So then we know what money's come in for the event and who's given it, but nobody else knows. Like, and nobody sees it on the night of like who's able to give over a ten or whatever, which might ostracize the people who aren't able to or make them feel bad that they can't. But, you know, it can all be done in a way that is not visible to everyone, but still make it easy for people to give if they can.
Yeah, we used to do that ticket source, because lots of times people have like church suite or like your church will have a way of doing managing money, but ours didn't at the time. And the ticket source was free if you're a charity. And we used to do that for like a pizza event. So we'd get Domino's, have it in the church. We try and do it as cheaply as possible. And we didn't want it to cost the church anything. Ideally, that was the plan. So it was self-funding. So we had some economies of scale because it was quite a big group. And yeah, we did exactly that. We did a ticket system whereby you buy a ticket online, and it was, you know, it was like cover costs. But then if you couldn't pay, that was fine. But there was also a section to donate more, and it balanced out, because there were families with three kids who didn't have much money. And 15, you know, £5 each, it suddenly becomes £15 to go. That's a bit more expensive. But then you had other families who, you know, had a bit more money or only had one kid. And so it cost a lot less. So I think, for a night out for my kid, I can probably afford a tenner. Yeah. So they paid a tenner, which paid for someone else's ticket. And it generally tended to work out, so that the event itself just covered its own costs, apart from staffing, because obviously I was employed to be there. But the food element,
like, cost can be a barrier, can't it? Sometimes we can think like, oh, like we'd love to do that, but it would cost too much money, kind of thing. Like, we might think, oh, we haven't got any money, you know, to do something like a residential camp or a summer camp or something, because we can't subsidize any of the costs of the church, or like it's going to be too expensive for our families, and so it's just not going to be something we can do. But I think instead of letting cost be a barrier, like, sometimes we can find ways around it. So like, sometimes we used to find that actually there were people within the church who were really happy to subsidize places for something like that, because of the huge benefit that there was for young people to go on something like that, perhaps they themselves as young people found those really fruitful and good. They wanted to kind of pay that forward and let somebody else go on an event like that without having to pay if they didn't have the money. So we used to kind of run it our own kind of church sort of bursary scheme for events like that. So we'd kind of stand up the front, do a little notice, say that we wanted to take young people to this or that, and that people could donate to it, and then kind of see what happened. And we used to get quite a few places covered by people who would donate to something like that. Also, there are like perhaps specific grants or places where you can apply for money to do something specific like that, an event or a project or a trip. And also some organised camps that you could take young people on might already have a bursary scheme themselves that you could recommend to parents or that you can tap into and use for your group. So there are ways of getting around stuff like that, which can be really useful to know, rather than just thinking we can't do that because it costs money.
Yeah, when I was first kind of starting to run residential stuff, I had Helen, my mentor. Remember, she was kind of talking to me about this kind of stuff. She was like, if you're time poor, it doesn't work very well. But we planned a year in advance to go to Soul Survivor, actually, and it was expensive. And I didn't want to just charge to cover the costs, because that, again, I was worried it would put people off. But basically, we just did fundraising for a really long time, for like a year. And it required a lot more organization, which wasn't my strong suit at that age. But it was great because there was only sort of 10 of us. And we did lots of fundraising ideas. And we were meeting like every week before going on the camp. And we, you know, we did, there's some terrible fundraising ideas that we did, but it built the community, which was a real added benefit. We did raise some money. Some people kind of chipped in their own money. And then because we were fundraising, someone realized, so we did some, you know, like promise auction or like the classic church kind of fundraiser event, come and buy like a cake that was made by a child and pay way too much for it. But they came to our promise auction and they gave us like, I don't know, some like £1,000 or some crazy amount, just because they felt led to. But even without that, we just did fundraising every year, and it became a regular part of that Soul Survivor trip. Yeah. And it was great. Like we got the money and we ended up adding value. We raised some money. That was good. But more than that, the young people themselves were committed. They realized it wasn't for free. We were closer as a group, and we had like anecdotes and stories going in. So that was really good.
Yeah, that's amazing. Little wins on the side. Resources as well can be a big challenge, because sometimes if you're a volunteer, like if there's no church money, you feel like you've got to cover the cost yourself. Or perhaps like if your budget's been cut, you're thinking, oh, how are we going to even buy any resources? But the good thing is there are lots of free ones out there as well. And, you know, we've got loads of a mixture of paid for ones and cheaper ones and free ones on our recommended resource library. So definitely check that out on our website. But also, there are other things you can tap into as well. So if you're doing missional outreach with kids or youth, you can sign up to be a faith guide with the Script Union and access a whole range of free resources there, specifically for faith guides that aren't accessible to other people. And it's free to be a faith guide. So, you know, you're not losing anything by doing that. So you're getting access to extra support for what you're doing already, plus access to these free resources, which are pretty good. But yeah, there's lots of free ones out there, like video series is like the newer series. The Bible Society have got some freebies as well. And sometimes if you can go to some of these like Christian events, networking stuff, or conferences and things, sometimes there are discounts and stuff when you're there for resources and things, or sometimes you get freebies when you're there, which can really help. But also it can be a real help to have a relationship with other youth workers and or children's workers as well, because there might be other resources that you can pull or beg, steal, or borrow from other people who are willing to lend them out, which can be a really good thing to do too. Because obviously once you've used a resource, you might not need it again for another year or two until you're going to reuse it. Sometimes you never reuse it. And so you can just give it away to somebody else who can use it.
On resources, there's actually a book called Youth Ministry on a Shoestring by Lars Root, which I read when I was looking at how can we save money for our youth ministry. It's interesting. It's a very kind of American perspective. So the idea of, you know, the budgets are different things. So there were things where it's like, oh, you know, instead of hiring out an entire venue, you could maybe just go, you know, and like, duh, obviously. But there were some good ideas in there too. So if you wanted a book to read that was easy and kind of fairly easy, accessible, easy reading, quite small, that's a really good one. Youth Ministry on a Shoestring.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that, Ollie. Any other ideas you've got?
No, I think that's it. I think it very much depends on context. Like what counts as not very much money, what resources do you already have available, Sometimes I think some of this advice can be a bit like when you've got a cookbook, it's like simple cookbook, and then all the ingredients you don't actually have. I think look around at what you do have and see what you can do with that. And I think lots of the value comes from time spent together, creativity, and young people have resource and ideas as well. And that can be a really like affirming, not always, sometimes it doesn't work, but sometimes it'd be quite affirming if you gather with the young people and say, cool, like, how do you want to resource this? And so you actually end up expending effort in things that the young people care about and they would value much more. You know, we want this particular thing, or it'd be great to do this particular thing. And then you work together with the young people, with you kind of leading and guiding them. So it doesn't become just a circular, oh, I don't know, what do you want to do? But I think that could be quite helpful.
As well, some of the best moments we've had is like some of the things that haven't cost a lot of money. So like we used to do kind of regular socials where we'd go out and do different trips and different things, cinema and bowling and trampoline and all those kind of things. But some of the actual best ones that I can recall were the ones that, like, where we got chips to share and sat in the park and chatted. Like, some of those are, like, the most fruitful times where, like, they don't actually cost a lot of money because you're buying a big, large chips and you're sticking it on a table and sharing it. And you're just kind of sat around having that relational time and chatting together. You know, you don't have to spend a lot of money to be able to have a decent time together. And I think that's a really important thing to remember.
Yeah, I think so. And just doing things that you think are fun, good, sharing that with young people and vice versa, getting them to share like loads, like you're saying, like loads of the stuff I can remember doing with young people. That was some of the best things we did were not expensive moments. And in fact, sometimes those big flashy things where you've spent lots of money, they can be good and they can be attractional, but sometimes they can be a distraction. We used to like hire bouncy castles when we had a bit more budget. It wasn't a popular choice from the church treasurer, but and it was good for a while, and it meant that more people came to this group that we did. But actually after a while it became a regular thing, and after a while it was becoming a waste of money. So we stopped that, and we could use the money, we could use the money elsewhere or just save the church some money.
Even with just briefly touching on like resources for activities like craft stuff, like you touched on it a little bit, like we don't even have to buy a bunch of stuff for that. Like you can make craft things with recycled bits and bobs, and like make the use of what you've already got already, like get them to bring in stuff that they can from home and things like that, where you can still, it doesn't mean you don't have to, you can't do any craft stuff because you haven't got any money for any. Like there are still stuff you can do. And like the internet is a fab resource for finding stuff as well that you could do.
And I think you can lean into that. So I think where it becomes slightly tragic feeling is where you try to do something that you can't quite afford or you can't quite do. And it doesn't work. Whereas actually, if you lean into the thing that you're actually trying to do, a bit like with the games consoles, rather than being like, hey, we're going to do this, you lean into the fact that it's old school. Or if you're doing craft and it's using recycled material, lean into the fact that it's that kind of thing. And I think that works really well. Like we had a great night, which was a newspaper themed night, and we just got all the, I mean, no one really gets newspapers anymore, but like we all the people's newspapers just before recycling day. But we weren't trying to make it slick, and therefore it was super fun, and you could bond over it.
I guess we can do another one, can't we, podcast on like raising money, because I think that's a whole other thing that actually, like, there's a whole bunch of ways you could raise money for youth ministry so that you could have money to do things. But I think that's probably better for a whole other conversation.
Yeah, so that's the other school of thought. I haven't got enough money, do stuff cheaper or get more money. That's a whole separate topic.
Yeah. Perhaps we can mention like some of the grants that we know are out there and other ways to get money and things in a different one. If that'd be useful, let us know. I guess we've probably chatted for long enough to risk not boring people.
Sounds good.
And we've gone through quite a lot of different things, haven't we?
Yeah, and we're here if people want to like pick our brains. There's more ideas, I'm sure, that we've done that just seem obvious. And I've benefited loads from people bouncing their ideas of fun stuff they've done that didn't cost anything.
Thank you so much for listening to the Foot Plus podcast. We know that we've had about 1,000 listens so far to the ones that we've put out. So we really want to thank you if you've been following us so far. Yeah. Do let us know if there is a topic that you'd like covered. You can email us at hello@youthworkplus.com. That's PLUS, not a plus sign at the end. And check out our website for plenty more things to equip and encourage you in your role with kids or young people.
Yeah, there's loads on there. Crucially, there's lots of resources. Loads of them are free. There's information about networks that can be joined. And actually, that book I mentioned, one of the key things he said is being part of a network is actually a really cost-saving thing because you share ideas and also resources. Requests don't come out of the blue. So there's places where you can join a network with people who are kind of like-minded and doing the same stuff as you. It's free advice and consultancy if you want it. You can just get in touch with us and we'll sort that out with someone who knows a lot about what they're talking about. If you just want to chat and get in touch with us and kind of pick our brains about things, then we'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I hope you come along next time, listen to the next week Youth Work Plus podcast. And remember, youth work is hard, and it just by doing it, you're doing better than you think. But actually, You are definitely doing better than you think you are, even if you think you're doing amazingly.
And remember that we're cheering you on in your Youth and Kids Ministry. And if we can help you in any other ways, then please get in touch with us. Yeah. You're doing fab. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.